This is that time of year, isn't it, when we think about graduations, perhaps more than we think about them at other times. Obviously, graduations happen at other times of year, but this is that time of year when we think about those who are moving up. And we had our promotion Sunday at 9 o'clock this morning when our young people were promoted. They were moved up to their next grade level. And not only is this the time of year when we think about folks moving up, but we also think about, well, there's others who are moving on and are perhaps going off to college for the first time later on this year. And so in this season of graduations, we've got, it seems like everybody gets to graduate these days. I mean, you've got kindergarten graduation, you've got, you have fifth grade graduation, sixth grade, eighth grade graduation. I mean, it's like, you know, trophies for everybody. We're going to let everybody graduate from there and just wear a cap and gown or whatever it is. But we think about high schoolers and we think about college students perhaps more often being those who graduate. And next year, the Good Ales will have a kindergarten graduation and a high school graduation all in the same time. So lots of fun next year for those graduations. But as you think about people and where they go to school, what colleges they go to, what universities they go to, I would like you to think this morning about the fact that I believe that we have too many people who are going to and graduating from the University of Kent. I just can't do that. Oh, no, we can't go. We can't do that. Have you noticed how often folks seem to just rely on the word can't? We've got young people today that's one of their favorite words. Mom and dad want them to do, oh, I can't do that. Oh, really? You can't? Let me show you how you can do that. But it seems like we've got some people not only in school, the University of PhD, but or the University of Kent, but some have graduated with a PhD in Kent. You know, and this morning I thought about, in fact, I've got the book in my office and I thought, should I read it or not? And I decided I wouldn't take time to read the book about the little engine that could. I had it, I looked at it even on Friday. I'm like, should I read it or not? And I thought, no, I'm not going to take precious sermon time to read this book about the little engine that could. But do you remember that story about that train that couldn't go any further? And oh, no problem. Here comes a nice, shiny engine who's been pulling a passenger train. And what does that engine say? Oh, I can't pull you. No way, I'm a nice shiny engine. I'm not going to pull you. Oh, no problem. Well, here comes this mighty strong freight engine coming along. Oh, they can pull us over the mountain. Well, I can't pull you. You got this old, rugged, beat up engine that comes along. No, I'm too old. I'm too crotchety. That word's not in the book, but you know that you get the I can't pull you. And you got these I can't. And then what'd you get? This little old engine that came along. What'd that little old engine say going up the side of that mountain trying to pull this train? I think I can. I think I can. That's where we need to be. I think we need to drop out of the University of Kent, and I think we all need to enroll in the University of Can. I think I can. I think I can. That needs to be our motto. That needs to be our determination as Christians. And so this morning, this lesson is for everybody. I want to especially talk to some of our young people this morning, those who are in high school, those who are in junior high, those who are being promoted this day. I want to talk especially to our young people this morning, but this lesson has application to every single one of us because we all need to be enrolled in the University of Can. Will you enroll in that university with me this morning? I mean, you don't have to fill out an application or anything like that. Will you enroll with me in that? And so what I want us to do this morning is there's basically, most students will go 4 years to high school. I know some try to get an extra year or two in there if they can, but most will go to high school for 4 years, you know? And you think about college or university and, you know, you think about 4 years at least to get to your undergrad. So I want us to think about the 4 years of the University of Can this morning. And every verse we're going to look at today either has the word can or has the word able in it to tell us that we can do this, to tell us that we are able in these ways. But I want us to look at this in three different areas this morning. The first thing I want us to do, when you're enrolled in the University of Can, the first year you're in the University of Can, you've got to learn, I can. That's what that little engine that could said, I can do this. Get this thought process of I can't, get that out of our minds and get more into the mindset of knowing that I can do that. Well, what can I do? Well, let's look at some passages this morning. And we need to recognize that as a Christian, I can do whatever the Lord calls me to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord is going to call upon you to do things that you can't do? If you believe that, you're not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. Whatever the Lord has called upon us to do, we can do it. But notice what it says, with the Lord's help. Not on my own, not because of my goodness and my strength, but with the Lord's help, I can do that. Now notice the similarity between John 15 and verse 5 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5 that without me you can do what? Nothing. Without me you can do nothing. There is not a single thing I can successfully do as a Christian without the Lord's help. How do I know that? Because Jesus said that. Without me, you can do nothing. What is Jesus talking about? Without me, you can't tie your shoes. He's not talking about tying your shoes. Without me, you can't. He's talking about those things that in John chapter 15, those things I need to do to serve the Lord, to bear fruit for the Lord. I can't serve the Lord without the Lord's help. But notice how that kind of bookends over with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. You know that verse. Maybe better than you know John 15 and verse 5. We're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. What does Paul say? I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. Here in this context, Paul says, I've learned in life that sometimes you've got it and sometimes you don't. I've learned in life that sometimes you've got plenty of things, you've got plenty of food, and sometimes you don't have enough food. So he said, I've learned how to abound, I've learned how to live with sustenance, and I've learned how to not have a whole lot. I've learned that I can do all things, not on my own goodness, but on the Lord's goodness. And that's what the Lord would have us to learn, is that I can do whatever He calls upon me to do. And if I think that I can do it without Him, I have failed. I have fooled myself. But I can do everything He's called me to do because the Lord can do everything. Is there any limitation to our God? Is there any limitation to what our God can do for us? If you were to read through the book of Job, you would read about a man who was challenged in his faith. You would read about a man who had a number of things happen to him that we read it and we might try to imagine what Job was going through, but I don't even know that we can put ourselves in his place to imagine everything that he endured during that experience in the book of Job. But then you get to the last chapter. And in the last chapter, Job says to God, I know you, he's saying to God, I know you can do everything. And that no purpose of yours that you set your mind to do, no purpose of yours can be held from you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when it comes to God, that He can do everything? Do you believe when it comes to God, that no purpose of God can be withheld from Him? And if you believe that, young people, you can believe that with the Lord's help, you can do whatever He calls you to do. The world will try to get you to think, oh, being a Christian is hard. Okay, sure, being a Christian is hard, but guess what? Being a human being is hard. Is that true? I mean, being a human being, wouldn't it be easier just to be a snake? I mean, wouldn't it be easier just to be a rabbit? I mean, wouldn't it be easier to be anything else other than a human being? Now, being a responsible human being is even harder than being a human being. Isn't being responsible hard? Yes, but isn't being responsible rewarding? Yes. Is being a Christian hard? Yes, but living is hard. But being a Christian is rewarding. It's the best life that you will have on this earth. The world's going to try to convince you otherwise. The world will try to convince you, oh, you're going to church, you're getting up early on a Sunday, and why are you doing that? You don't have to do it. They're going to try to convince you. Being a Christian is not the life to live. I can do this. And I can do whatever the Lord has called me to do because the Lord is going to help me to do that. And while He is helping me to do whatever He's called me to do, at the same time He is helping me to deal with the adversary. the same time he's helping me to deal with the devil. Or you could put the word defeat here. If you don't want the word deal, you could put the word defeat here. With the Lord's help, I can defeat the devil. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to see three times in Ephesians chapter 6 where we're going to see the word able. And again, every verse we're looking at this morning has got the word can, or it has the word able to say we're in the university of can. I need to learn in this first year in the university that I can, and I can do whatever the Lord calls me to do. I can deal with this enemy and the challenges he throws at me. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. You start in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not in the power of your might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But look in verse 11. Here's the first able. In verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be" what? "That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I cannot stand up against the schemings of the devil without the Lord's help, but with the Lord's help, I can. I can stand up against whatever devices, whatever schemes the Lord, the devil tries to throw at me. The Lord is going to help me through those. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are able to stand up against the devil? How often? Look in verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Notice that again. "Take up the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." On what day can you stand up against the devil? With the Lord's help, you can stand up against the devil any day. Even when you're having a bad day. Even when you're having a weak day. Even when you're not having, even when it's not a good time for you and it seems like you're failing and faltering at every turn, with the Lord's help every day, you can defeat the devil. Look in verse 16. Third time we see this word able. As he's talking about these various pieces of armor, the fourth piece of armor here in verse 16, he says, "Take up the shield of faith, by which you will be" what? "Able." "By which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one." So you see three times here that I am able to stand up against the devil. I am able to withstand him every day. And with the shield of faith, I am able to quench, I am able to extinguish every fiery dart that he throws at me. Do you know that the devil is going to throw all sorts of fiery darts your way? He's going to throw some your way that don't really matter. They're not going to be all that fiery to you. They're not going to bother you that much. But some of the darts, some of the efforts he throws your way are going to be on fire. And with that shield of faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more I build my faith, the bigger that shield becomes. I can. Not that I could or I might, I can defeat everything the devil throws at me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, you know that verse. The Bible says, "No temptation has overtaken me, but" what? "It's common to man." No temptation has overtaken me, but what's common to man? But God is" what? "God is faithful." I hope you will remember those three words. Those are three of my favorite words. God is faithful. Who will not, underscore that, not, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are" what? What's the next word? "Able to bear. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." There is nothing the devil can throw your way that you cannot handle with the Lord's help. Every single time, the Lord, every single time without exception, the Lord is going to provide a way of escape. Not just to big temptations, to every temptation. The Lord's going to say, "It's right here. It's over here." He's going to have a big old neon arrow pointing at it. It's just up to us to say, am I going to look for that way of escape? Knowing that I can defeat the devil and his temptations at every turn. In Joshua chapter 14, this isn't about the devil, but it's about an enemy. And in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is there, and Caleb says to Joshua, "Give me this mountain. Here's the enemy living on this mountain." He says, "Give me this mountain. It may be with the Lord's help that I can drive them out, as the Lord has said." But look at what he says. it may be that I can, with the Lord's help, drive them out. If Caleb could do that with a physical enemy, can we not do that with a spiritual enemy in the devil? Do we have confidence? I can drive him out. But I can drive him out, just as Caleb said, with the Lord's help. Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence that when the devil is throwing temptations your way, do you have confidence that you can defeat him? And the only way we can have that confidence is to know that Jesus is the one who helps us do it, that he provides that way of escape. But in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, about Jesus in Hebrews 2 and verse 18, it says, he suffered. When you think about Jesus, do you think about him suffering? Jesus suffered. What does Hebrews 2 and verse 18 say that he suffered in doing? He suffered in being tempted. How much was Jesus tempted? Was Jesus tempted to do wrong the same way that you are tempted to do wrong? Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says, he was tempted in all points like as we are. You think the devil's got your number? If the devil thought he could tempt Jesus, do you think the devil thinks he can tempt you? But Hebrews 2 verse 18 says he suffered being tempted. Now, why was Jesus tempted? One reason in Hebrews 2 and verse 18 says that he may be able to help those who are tempted. I can overcome temptation. And I can overcome temptation, but I can only do it when I rely on the Lord to help me. As you go through this life, you need to be in the University of Can. Not can't, forget that. You need to be enrolled in the University of Can. And in that first year, you've got to learn, I can do this. I can do whatever the Lord calls upon me to do. And when the devil comes at me, I can defeat him at every turn, but I can only do it with the Lord's help. Number two, when you get to the second year, and I'm just using years here in a metaphorical sense, you don't have to wait till next year to figure this out, okay? But when you get to the second year of the University of Can, you not only need to learn that I can, but you need to learn that we can. What's better than I can? We can. And again, just looking at some passages that the Bible uses this word can or uses the word able, the Bible teaches that we can support each other. The Bible teaches that we can strengthen each other as we work together for the Lord. Back in the Old Testament book of Amos, in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is in the question. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Not very well. Unless, remember what Samson did with the tails of those foxes? To get two foxes to walk together, what did Samson do with them? Oh, I'll just tie their tails together. I'm sure that just made the foxes' day, right? Oh, look, this is grand. We now have our tails tied together. Well, that got them to walk together. But while they were united together in that, were they truly united together in their effort? While they were joined together by being tied together, their hearts were not in it, were they? What about us? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? What's the point of that? Actually, the point of that is Amos was talking for God, and God was saying, if you're not walking with me, we're not in agreement, and we cannot walk together. But what's the point for us? Point for us is that as Christians, we need to strive to unite together in truth. We need to strive to unite together in our purpose as Christians. And the more we do that, show us what we can't do. The more we unite together as Christians, show us what battle we cannot win. Show us what obstacle we cannot overcome. As Christians, we need to strive to support and to strengthen each other. Isn't that the purpose of the body of Christ? You know, the Lord could have saved you from your sins and put you in a little bubble of isolation all by yourself somewhere out in space or somewhere lost on this earth so that you would be all by yourself and nobody would ever bother you. And some of you are thinking, hey, that'd be kind of nice. No, that wouldn't be kind of nice. The Lord saves you, and when he saves you, Acts 2 and verse 47 says, he adds you to his church. You become a part of his body. And the purpose of the body is to support and strengthen each other. Not just, oh yeah, I know that person. Oh, I know. Not just to know each other, but to encourage each other. As Romans 15 and verse 14 would say, again, the word can, word able is here in Romans 15 and verse 14, that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, because of the goodness he talks about here, because of the love that we have for each other, we need to admonish one another. That word admonish is not a word that we would use very often. It's a word that literally means to put into someone's mind. It means to gently warn somebody about the direction that they're going. You know, sometimes we need encouragement as Christians. Sometimes we need admonishment from others to keep on keeping on. That's this whole concept of the two walking together. That's the whole concept of the unity that we need to have in the body of Christ. When we become a Christian, it's not just about me being a Christian. It's about us being Christians together. Is it easier being a Christian when you have other Christians to be a Christian with? Can you imagine living in Palm Beach County if you were the only Christian in Palm Beach County? Can you imagine how hard that would be? Why are Sundays the best day of the week? For a number of reasons. And one reason is because we get to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Why are Wednesday nights so great? Because we've been out in the world for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And why are Wednesday nights so great? Because we get to come back together with those of like precious faith and say, this is my family. These are the ones that I share all things that matter in common with. And this is where I find my strength. This is where I find my support. And so Sundays and Wednesdays ought to remind us, we can. We need each other. We can be successful in every endeavor that we take on as Christians if we do it together. This thing called COVID has been one of the worst things that's happened to the body of Christ in a long time. I'm not just talking about Palm Beach Lakes body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ all over the world. One of the worst things that's happened. Why? Because it has separated us, because it has driven us away from each other. That is not what the Lord wants for the body. Would you like your arm driven away from you for a year? Would you be okay with that? Would you like your foot driven away from you for a year? Oh, that'd be all right. It can come back later on. No, you like your body being your body all the time, right? It was designed that way. God designed His body to be together, to support, to strengthen each other. We need each other. We need each other so that we can be successful as Christians, so that we can lean on each other and rely on each other. Read Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 talks about the need that we have for each other. Read the closing verses of James chapter 5. It shows that we need each other. And all throughout, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read Ephesians chapter 4. I mean, the whole New Testament is about the need that we have for each other. We need each other to help when it comes to defending against attacks. Can you imagine if you played football and you walked out on the field, but the rest of your defensive line didn't walk out there with you? You played defensive line, but the rest of the defensive line said, oh, well, we're not really in it today. Try playing defensive line when you're the only one trying to do it. But go play on defense when you've got the rest of your team there to support you. If you're out there on defense all by yourself, the other team will score at will and laugh in your face while doing it. But when you're out there on defense with the rest of the team, and when you've got all stars on your team, because all Christians are all stars, when you've got all stars on your defensive team, you're going to be a whole lot stronger and a whole lot more successful. And that's what Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 is talking about. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12 says, though one may be overcome, here comes someone attacking them, and while one may be overcome, two can stand against it. Sometimes when I'm all by myself, I can be overrun, I can be overcome. But two can stand against it. And then he says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And it's not just two here, it's not just three. It's by the dozens. Why do we have Bible classes for children here? to build their faith, to teach them the principles of God and of the Bible, so that they can sit in a classroom with others their age and not just learn about math and not just learn about social studies and not just learn about science with those of their age, which they do at school, but now to come here and with people their age to sit and talk about Jesus. Does that not build their faith together? Why do we have a youth program here? Why do we have activities for our young people? Why do we have devotionals? Why do we have leadership training camp? Why do we have mission trips? Why do we do all of this for our kids? Why do we have somebody that their sole responsibility, one of them here, right, is to work with our... Why? Why do we have deacons who are responsible for working with our young people? Why do we put the effort there? Because we know that the devil is going to attack every time he can. But if we can fortify their faith, not just as an individual, we do that too, but as a collective unit, that they can lean on each other. Do you all lean on each other more than you lean upon some of these older people that are here? Yeah. Do you talk to each other more than you talk to some of these graying and balding people who are here? Yes, you do. They need each other to defend against the attacks of the devil. The whole church needs each other. To be successful against that, we need each other. But not just on defense. We need each other on offense. You walk out on the football field, but you're the only guy who walks out on offense. You can be the best quarterback in the world. You can be the best quarterback in the world, but if it's you against 11, I don't care who those 11 are, you're done. Not going to work. But when you walk out on that football field and you've got 11 all-stars on the offensive team, where are you going to go? You're going to march all over the defense? You're going to march all over the other team? It's not just about defending against those attacks that come against us as Christians, but it is recognizing that we can go out and do great things together for the Lord. Back to Caleb. Caleb, you did a great job in reading that scripture this morning, so you've got two times here in the sermon. Joshua chapter 14, now Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, 12 spies come back from the promised land. And what do they say? Oh, it's a great land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of them say, oh, we are not, what's the next word they use? We are not able to take it. 10 guys come back from this great land that God is giving them, and they said, we can't. They went to the University of Kent. They graduated from the University of Kent with a PhD, and now they were a professor in the University of Kent saying, we can't do it. Caleb stands up in the minority. Caleb stands up. Everybody else is saying, we can't do this. Caleb stands up. He saw the same thing these other 10 guys did. He heard the same thing these other 10 guys did. It's not that he was dumb to what these other 10 guys saw. Caleb stands up, knowing everything those other 10 guys know, but knowing that the Lord is on his side. And he says, listen to what he says. He doesn't just say, we can do this. He says, we are well able to go in and take this land. How? Because the Lord is with us. We can't. It's not just that we can do this. We well can do this because God is on our side. Caleb understood. Caleb understood that it's not about numbers. It's not about how many there are with us. He understood with the Lord on their side that they could do whatever God wanted them to do. We need to learn in the University of Kent, I can. We need to learn in the University of Kent, we can. Together we can. We need each other. Their third year at the University of Kent, we're going to get through these last 2 years very quickly. Third year, the Bible can. What can the Bible do? See, I can and we can because the Bible can. What can the Bible do for us? The Bible is able, what we learn about from that young man Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says, you've known the Holy Scriptures. You've known these Holy Scriptures from infancy. From a child, you've known these Holy Scriptures, which are able, there's the word, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Timothy had grown up learning from the Bible, which was able to save him. The Bible's not only able to save us and to show us what we need to do to be saved. The Bible actually saves us. James 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Not only shows me how to be saved, when I obey it, it saves me. We won't take time to look in John chapter 3 and verse 5, but born of water and the Spirit is the Bible saving you. Being regenerated by the Holy Spirit in Titus 3 and verse 5 is the Bible saving you. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26, same thing. You got the Bible saving us. The Bible shows us how to be saved. When we obey it, when we do what it says, the Bible saves us. And then after we're saved, it strengthens us. It tells us here's how to live as a Christian, to be a successful and strong Christian. Paul's talking to a group of elders in Acts 20 and verse 32. Talking to a group of elders from Ephesus. And he says to them, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Now what's the word of His grace able to do? "I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." These Christians needed to be stronger. And Paul says, here's the word of God. I commend you to go and read the Bible so that you can become a stronger Christian. But it's not only able to build you up, it is able to give you an inheritance. Young people, the best thing that you can do in your life. I don't know what you're going to do when you go to, if you go to school or if you go to a tech school, or what you're going to do when you graduate. I don't know who you're going to marry. I don't know how many kids you're going to have. I don't know how many grandkids you're going to have. I don't know who your favorite preacher is going to be and all of that kind of stuff. Here's one thing I do know. The very best thing you can decide to do right now and for the rest of your life is to read the Bible every day. You want to beat the devil? That's your source book. To beat the devil, read the Bible every day. And I'm not talking about read it from cover to cover every day. I'm not talking about read 50 chapters every day. Even if you only read a paragraph every day, even if you only read a verse or two every day, it is feeding your soul. And it is reminding you that, yes, I can, and yes, we can, but I can and we can because the Bible can. The best practice you can get into, it's the practice of opening your Bible and letting God speak to you every day. I know some of our young people do that. I've been amazed to hear young people talk to me about their Bible reading and what they read in the Bible that day. And I wish that all of you would do that. Your life will be enriched. You will become stronger. You will become better as a result of it. Fourth year in the University of Cannes, you learn I can, we can, the Bible can, and all of this is true because God can. These first three don't have any weight without this last one. God can. What can God do? Isn't Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 some of your favorite part of the Bible? What's God able to do? To Him, God, who is able to do, what is it? He is able. That's the word we're looking at this morning. Now Him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So tell me, what is there that God cannot do? Your God can. Your God can help you. Why not trust Him? Why not rely on Him? Why not depend on Him? See, I can't go through this life. You want another thing? You want another thing that will make a difference in your life every single day? Let God talk to you. Read your Bible every day. And then spend a couple minutes talking to God every day. Why would you not talk to the one who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? If you have that person waiting to hear from you, why wouldn't you talk to him every day? Let them know what's on your heart every day. Let them know what challenges you're facing every day, knowing that He is the one who will deliver us. He is the one who is able to completely deliver us from sin, deliver us from the trials of life. Isn't one of your favorite stories, two favorite children's stories in all the Bible are there in the book of Daniel. You got the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. Story of Daniel the lion's den in chapter 6. Do you know you have the word Abel in both of those chapters? When Nebuchadnezzar was threatening to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, you know what they said? Go ahead. Our God is able to deliver us. There's the word. Our God can, fiery furnace? You think our God cares about a fiery furnace? That's just like nothing. That's so puny. That's so puny to our massive God. Who cares about a fiery furnace? But do you know what else they said? They said, He can deliver us, but you know what? If He doesn't, that's okay with us too. It's good enough for us to know that He can. That's all we care about. If He doesn't choose to deliver us, then guess what? Hey, we get to go to heaven and you still lose, Nebuchadnezzar. Either way, Nebuchadnezzar, you lose and we win. So guess what? Our God is able. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said in the very last verse or two of Daniel chapter 3? When he saw not just three men, but four men inside the fire, and he brings them out, and they're not even touched by the fire, don't even smell like smoke. You know what he said? I think it's the last verse, maybe the last statement of Daniel chapter 3. He says, everybody needs to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there is no other God, listen, there is no other God who can deliver like this other than their God. What did Nebuchadnezzar learn? God can. He learned it. He learned it the hard way. Why don't we learn it the easy way? Our God can. He can deliver us. He can help us through whatever it is that we are going through. He can defend us against everything that comes our way. He can defend us from stumbling. The next to last verse, Jude verse 24, is one of the best statements that He is able, there's the word, He is able to keep you from stumbling. You lean on the Lord. He's able to keep you from stumbling. Why do we have walkers? Why do we have people who use walkers in this church? Because they want to have a race after services and have a walker race or a wheelchair race? Why do people come in leaning on and holding on to the arm of somebody else? Because it keeps them from stumbling. What if we leaned on God? What if we used God as our walker? What if He was the one that we trusted in every day to defend us, to help us to not fall, to keep us secure in serving Him? Do you know that God is the God who can, and I tried to come up with a word here, that can just deluge you, if that can be used that way. Our God will overwhelm you if you'll let Him. He'll overwhelm you physically. He'll overwhelm you spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, after a section of Scripture that talks about if we sow sparingly, we will also reap sparingly, but if we sow bountifully, we'll also reap bountifully. If we give to God, God's going to give back to us. The very next verse in chapter 9 and verse 8 says, now to Him, God, here's God, and what is God, what is He able to do? Our God is able, can make all grace abound towards you in order that you might have all things that you need in this life. Do you trust God to deluge, to give you whatever you need? In 2 Chronicles, Old Testament book, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, King Amaziah, king of Judah. King Amaziah had hired some troops from the northern kingdom of Israel. He had hired these troops from the northern kingdom of Israel to come and help him in battle. And he had paid those troops 100 talents of silver. Go and study how much that is. A talent was almost 75 pounds, and he gave them 100 talents of silver. 7,500 pounds of silver. You go figure out how much that's worth. And so Amaziah paid these troops, come and help us in battle. And the man of God comes to him and says, no, you don't need Israel. They've turned against God, and they will not help you. Don't use them in battle. And Amaziah says, yeah, but what about the 100 talents of silver I gave? That's 7,500 pounds of silver. That's a lot of money. I just lost all of that money. And the man of God in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9 says to Amaziah, don't worry about that. Our God is able to give you much more. Much more? That's 75. Do you believe that your God is able to do much more? Do you believe that your God will supply you with whatever you need in this life? I'm not talking about some kind of a prosperity gospel that individuals preach on TV today. They say, hey, if you'll follow what I'm saying and send me money, God's going to overwhelm your bank account. That's not biblical, by the way. That's not what I'm preaching today. But do you trust God? That God is going to overwhelm you if you put your trust in Him. Christian life is the best life on this earth. Are there challenges? Sure, but there's challenges in every life. Except this life has the greatest reward on earth. The last thing, and I almost didn't put this in, but it's a key verse in Matthew chapter 10. It's where Jesus says God is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. That's something we don't want to think about. But the other side of not being a Christian, the other side of not learning I can, we can, the Bible can, and God can, is that the day is going to come where God is able to take those who do not obey Him and condemn them to an eternal hell. Where are you today? What school, what university are you enrolled in today? Have you lived in, have you been a perpetual student in the University of Kent? If that's you, drop out. Get out of there and enroll in the University of Cannes. And when we do that, our lives will be so much better. Learning that I can, we can, the Bible can, and God can. You a Christian today? Are you a child of God today? God can save you today. That's one thing He wants to do today. You can be saved today. If you do what the Bible says, you can become a child of God this very day. You can leave here today as a Christian. You can leave here today with every sin washed away. You can leave here today with that inheritance promised to you of heaven. Do you have that today? You can be saved if you do what the Bible says by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this world. He died on that cross, bearing all of our sins. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you've got that kind of faith, then it's going to cause you to turn away from sin. I don't want to do sin anymore. I want to repent, turn my life in the direction of God. And if you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. Confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized. Be immersed in water, be immersed into Christ, so that at that moment and not before, you can receive the remission of your sins. You can have God add you to His body, to His family, to His church. Have God enroll you in the University of Heaven and to write your name there. And then He calls upon us who are living that Christian life to serve Him faithfully, to do the very best that we can, and serving Him in the way that the Bible would teach us to do so. Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? You can leave here today being a faithful Christian. You need to make a change in your life. You can do that right now as together we stand and sing.